Our first scripture lesson is from the book of Psalm 145, verses 8 through 14. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. The Lord is precious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that God has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all the Lord's words and gracious in all the Lord's deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. The second scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 through 19 and 25 through 30. Listen now to God's word. Truly I tell you, among these born of women, no one has arisen a greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Savior. Amen. I don't know about you, but this scripture really blew me when I first read it. I couldn't quite get a grasp on it. It really is a strange conglomeration of a lot of things. People don't like John the Baptist. People don't like Jesus. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. I don't know about you, but I don't know if being in the church ever feels easy, no matter how much I pray to Jesus. But the more I read this, and then I decided, you know, I have to read this in context. So I went back to the first part of the scripture to try to figure out where Jesus was going with this. Chapter 11 has disciples of John the Baptist coming to Jesus. Now, John is already in prison. He's been arrested for telling King Herod that he's not doing the right thing by marrying his brother's wife, which didn't make King Herod real happy. So John's probably facing a death sentence. So he sends his disciples to Jesus because he's got all these followers, and what does he do with them if he's going to be killed? To find out for sure if Jesus was the Messiah. Now John was the one that declared to everybody that Jesus was the Messiah. So I don't know whether John was really questioning it because of his condition, if Jesus was the Messiah, or maybe this was a way for John to introduce his disciples to Jesus, to let them know who this man was and to switch them over from being his followers and being Jesus' followers. So Jesus has received these disciples, and he gets this question, are you really the Messiah? And Jesus simply says to them, look what I've been doing. I've been healing people. I've even raised the dead. And more importantly, I've given a message of hope to the poor. And so Jesus goes on with this. He praises John and says what a great man John is, that John came to tell people about him and to tell people about God. But then Jesus settles into this message. He's talking about children, and he's basically saying adults don't get it. The only ones that get it are children. That we have to be like children. And Jesus has said this before. Unless we come like a little child, we can't get the message. We're lost and unable to hear. Jesus said, here's John. John's doesn't eat much of anything but locusts and honey. He never has had a touch of alcohol come to his lips, and he sure dresses funny. He wears old animal skins, and he spends most of his time in the desert. So people think he has a demon, because surely anybody that's like that can't be a sane person. You know, as I'm reading this about John, I'm thinking about a pastor now in the progressive Christian movement, one of the leaders of it, called Nadia Boltz-Wedderer. Nadia had a fairly checkered past before she came to know Jesus and became a minister. Nadia is covered from almost head to toe with tattoos and has many piercings. And I'm sure that many people that look at her judge her as not being a good person to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet she has a wonderful message of love and peace in Jesus, because she's found that love and peace herself, her forgiveness. And then Jesus says, people look at me. I eat and I drink and I eat with all kinds of people, including people that are very questionable, like women of questionable ill repute and tax collectors and all kinds of other sinners. And he even eats with leaders of the religious institution of the time, which sure gave all those people around him reason to question, how could this man's message be trusted? He does all these things. So what do we do? Where do we go? These are the people that Jesus is preaching to are Jewish people. They're living in an oppressed world under the Roman Empire. They are feeling hopeless. Their religious leaders are beholden to the Roman Empire for their position, so they often worship Rome more than the God that they're supposed to be presenting to the people. And so they feel hopeless. Jesus had come with a message of hope for them, but they thought he was going to be the Messiah that came in on the white horse and freedom from Rome. And here he's telling them all about peace and love and forgiveness. Turn the other cheek. How can they trust that man? Because he's supposed to be their Messiah to save them, to free them from once again being an oppressed people. The Jewish people are well familiar with being oppressed. They've been oppressed by the Egyptians. They've been oppressed by the Persians. They've been oppressed by several other nations. They want to be free. They want to be their own people. But Jesus said, that's not what it's all about. You have to make choices. You can live the way you are, and you can understand that my message is one of peace and love. And follow me. Life will be easy under me. Well, not really, because he continues to tell them that if you want to follow me, you're going to have to listen to how I want you to live. You're going to have to treat others kindly, including those people that are oppressing you. You're going to have to share what you have with other people. If you've got some extra money or if you have an extra coat, then give it to the poor. That's not necessarily easy. But Jesus said, follow me. That's a message that's come down to us many years later in the church. If you're weary, I will give you rest. Ministers hear that and they're going, oh, Jesus, what are you talking about? We are all weary. Trust me, I can tell you that there are times that we are weary. Do you know the average length of time for a pastor graduating from seminary right now, staying in the ministry, is 5 years? 5 years. Not that 30 and 40 years that many of you knew as ministers. Because they are so weary. It's hard out there in the church right now. You know, we look around here and we see the numbers. There's many churches. We are going through a study right now with the foundation, and they're telling us we're actually a little above average as far as size and membership and attendance. It's tough. People and churches are having to make decisions. But what do they hone in on? Not the message of Jesus Christ. They hone in on things like, what kind of music's best? Is it too hot or is it too cold? What color should the carpet be? Instead of how can we best serve Jesus? How can we look around us at the world and see a world that is so struggling and make a difference? Our numbers are small, and yet we are called to be who Jesus has called us to be, each and every one of us, and that can make a difference in the world. And who knows? People like Nadia Boltz-Weber, who have tattoos and earrings, are bringing new people in. You know, we've reached a point in the history where in the church, when they do surveys, 10, 15 years ago, 90-some percent of the people said they believed they were part of a church, or at least were Christians. That's not the case anymore. Now more and more people are saying they're nuns. But there's also a lot that are saying they're spiritual, but not religious. Not religious. That means they don't want to be a part of the church. Diana Butler Bass, who's done a lot of talking around the country with people, she's talked to a lot of people that are just that, spiritual, but not religious. And she's asked them why. Do you know what one of the biggest answers she gets from people who are spiritual but not religious is? Oh, I still believe in Jesus. I think Jesus has a great message, and I believe in him. But you know what? Those churches I belong to or were part of or I hear about on TV or other places don't seem to have Jesus in them. They seem to be about anything but. Is that not sad? It tells us who we need to be as a church, that we need to demonstrate to the world that Jesus is indeed here, that what we do makes a difference in the world. You know, I hear comments about the preacher should just preach the gospel or preach the Bible. And I've heard preachers say, but I am. Isaiah says we should care for the orphans, the widows, and the aliens. Jesus said we should sell all we have and give it to the poor, or we should turn the other cheek. Or we should go out and serve others. Oh, no, that's not the gospel I want to hear. I want to hear that gospel that Joel Osteen and some of the progressive Christians are preaching, that Jesus wants us to be rich and have a Cadillac and live in a big house. Oh, where do you find that in Scripture? But people are convinced, many people are convinced, that is what the church is about. Is that who we want to be? We have choices to make. We have choices to make. Do we want to be a church that reflects Jesus in the world? Do we want to gain our energy from following Jesus and letting Jesus give us rest? Do we want to carry that yoke that Jesus tells us is light? Or do we just want to be a church in the world that does what everybody tells us to do? That is our choice. This is a great church, and we have done a whole lot. We do a lot of mission. We've touched a lot of lives. We may not be big, but if we take the time to spread that message to the world that we are a place where Jesus abides, that we're honestly seeking to follow Jesus, I think we can get that message out to other people, but we have to be willing to share it. Not just in how we speak, but in how we live. Our fifth Sunday sermons of service, we always talk about that is our day that we are living out St. Francis' words, preach the gospel and when all else fails. But we need to live that every day of the week. We need to preach the gospel and when all else fails, use words. Amen. Go out of this place. Look for ways to show Jesus' face in the world. Maybe it's just a kind word to the cashier. Maybe it's picking up school supplies when you're walking through Walmart or Publix. There are ways we can show Jesus' face in the world. Let us be the people Jesus has called us to be. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you today and always. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the postlude.